Welcome to the Digital Drummer, Urban Tech Talk on the Radio with Jim Newsom. Today we are supposed to be talking about how technology is impacting the film industry, and our special guest today is Mike Dennis, A Real Black Incorporated, and John Porter. Now, Mike Dennis may not show through. Less than last week, this week his grandmother, who's very close to, passed away. So I'm not sure if Mike will be here today. And right now he has our condolences and is in our prayers. So we just finished listening to Power, and that is by Johnny Popcorn from the album The Black Crow. And we'd like to thank Hezekiah for allowing us to play that song and use that song. Okay, so we're waiting for Jim Newsom to call in. And as we wait for Jim Newsom to call in, we will go over a little... Well, talk a little bit about the Urban Tech Fair, just for let everyone know, this is the official radio broadcast of the Urban Tech Fair. And the Urban Tech Fair, it is a national movement that takes place locally. The goal of the Urban Tech Fair is to go into various communities and provide an infrastructure that allows the community to realize that technology, innovation and resources, which AKA a lot of times can be called Silicon Valley, actually exist in their backyard. And by us being aware of and knowing the rich resources and talent and innovation that we are, that already exist in our community, and providing a way, the Urban Tech Fair demonstrates how you become aware and how you can use technology to build your community. And we go into each community, and that's what we do. And so we want everyone to realize what you have and show you tools you can use to collaborate together to just continuously build a better community. We're along with the President Broadband's initiative. So, of course, one of our goals is to increase the number of households with broadband access, to provide resources, information, everything from not just internet access to computers to training, classes, education, free resources, places you can go and get education and technology for free from major universities, just knowledge and information about what's going on in the tech field, opportunities for youth, for children, for adults, in the workforce, for entrepreneurs. We're also partnering with the America 21 Project, and one of their main goals is to find, to develop resources of funding amongst African Americans for African American entrepreneurs, tech entrepreneurs. So there are just a lot of wonderful, phenomenal things that we do have going on. And the Urban Tech Fair wants to be a conduit to share that great news, as well as to help people strategize, to collaborate strategically so that we can move vertical and, you know, really come up to par with technology where we should be. So to learn more about the Urban Tech Fair, you can visit www.urbantechfair.org. That's www.urbantechfair.org. And then Mr. Jim Newsom can tell you a little bit more. Hi, Jim.
Good evening, everybody.
Hey, how are you, sir?
Fine.
Okay. So
I was hoping that was my cue to say a little bit more about the Urban Tech Fair. Maybe I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
No, I was hoping you would. I know I didn't give the technical explanation, but I want to, you know, attempt to create images in people's minds. But go ahead, please share more.
Well, you know, you do a very good job about not only creating images, but expressing and illustrating what the Urban Tech Fair in its purest essence is. Me and you debate sometimes whether it's a showcase or a learning experience, and we believe that by showing people what's available already in their community, we can take away the excuses of why they can't succeed through technology, that technology is not somebody, not a white man's business. The technology is not the government's business. The technology is not some corporation's business. The technology is you. And as the world changes around you, you've got to be ready to change as well. This whole country is going through a flux due to technology, and we as a people have got to be ready to capitalize on it if we're ever going to compete in a global economy. And that's what we're trying to say with the Urban Tech Fair. Is everything that you need, everything that you can find in Silicon Valley exists in your own backyard. And we intend to showcase it, highlight it, promote it, lift them up. All those people that are working in the trenches, that are doing good work every day in our community and getting no acknowledgement and no praise, Urban Tech Fair has come to shout their names and highlight the positive in our neighborhood instead of what the media likes to claim as the news of the day.
Well, that is so true. And that's what I think is so great about your vision, and that's why I, you know, generally support it, because those are the type of things that we need to do. And to be honest, there are a lot of people are doing a lot of good things. We just many times just don't realize it. And sometimes we just don't realize it because we just don't. You know, nothing more than we just, you know, don't realize it because...
In our own worlds, we're also caught up in trying to live day-to-day to grind out a living. Statistics show that most people don't travel outside of 50 miles of where they work and live. And that's the knowledge base. We only know what's around us, but yet we don't know what's on the other side of that silo, what's on the other side of that mental barrier that we've created because we're just too busy to listen or just too busy to read or just too busy to learn.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, and, yes, yeah, some of it is that, and some of it is just, you know, for I live in Philadelphia, and I think to today somebody could tell me about a street that I did not know existed. And I just didn't think it could be any more streets that I did not know. So sometimes we just, you know, we don't know everything that's necessarily going on around us. And, I think with the decline of the family became the decline of the community, and we all move inside our own personal spaces. So a lot of times we just don't realize what the person down the street does. We don't have a clue. What were you saying, Tim?
We've got to come together as a community if we're going to survive as a people, as a nation. We've got to come together. And as I often say, the Urban Tech Fair is not only about bridging the digital divide, but the cultural divide as well. The good people in our community, regardless of their race or culture, they want the same thing that you and I want: safe streets, good schools, jobs. These are universal desires that every man and woman in this country would like to see happen in their neighborhood somewhere close by. And what we're saying at the Urban Tech Fair is that it's there. It exists already. It's just a matter of you taking advantage of the opportunities that are presenting themselves, whether it be from a business perspective, an educational perspective, or just from being a participant and good citizen in our community. The opportunities abound, and there's thousands of people doing good work every day, whether they be black, white, green, or yellow. And we've got to lift them up. We've got to support them. We've got to do for ourselves instead of waiting for government or some big corporation to come in and do for us.
That's true. Well, one thing, I don't know if you got a chance to hear, but Mike Dennis' grandmother, who is extremely close to, died this week.
Oh.
And so, he may be at I'm pretty sure the funeral. I'm pretty sure the funeral may have been, probably yesterday or maybe tomorrow. It's been that close. So I'm not sure. I wasn't sure if he would call in. So I did want to share that. So he had death in the family.
Let him know that he has my condolences. And, we have many opportunities to lift up and talk about his organization. And he's welcome to come back when it's, more convenient or more palatable.
Definitely. Now, but what is real interesting, Real Black's been around in Philadelphia for a while. And, again, this is proof of coming together as a community. That's why I really was interested. And technology has really opened up the film industry, especially as far as distribution in the independent film industry. But also what Real Black has done, and then they're part of another movement called Affirm. And matter of fact, Affirm is on Facebook as well. But what they have done is they first formed as to keep people aware of what's going on in the film industry with black films. So whenever anyone comes to town or anybody has any kind of black film that comes out, whether it's a major or if it's independent, they let everyone know. You join, they send out news blasts. Okay, this film's coming down. Please, everybody, come out and support the film. Come out and support the film. It's important. They may have conversations, a night out, a trip out or something that they may have in order to get people to come together, to come out opening weekend, to make sure that the film can, does well opening weekend and that it continues on. So that was initially what they've done. And then they've been doing a video show for years where they interview everyone. They have their, TV show that they do, and every person, celebrity that comes to town, they generally cover, interview them. And then when the Affirm movement came, they became the host organization for Affirm. And what Affirm is, I'm not great at saying her name, but it's Duvet, and she's from your area. She was the first black woman that won at Sundance. And she started this whole distribution system. And what they did, they got the film organizations, like Sundance, in every city there's some film or festival organization. They got each of them to commit to, okay, we're going to put out a film, and everyone is going to get behind it. So it started with her film, I Will Follow. And they put the film out, and each organization, they would do just like what Real Black was already doing. They encouraged and they did a big push. Now, these are independent film, and they each opened up in the city under one of the major film houses for, it was a limited opening. So they may open up, say, initially in 10 cities and for a weekend. And so that weekend, they were playing, and everyone would push for people to just go out and see the film. And then after they did that their first weekend, it launched the film into a longer run, and it was very successful. And now they're on the third film. And that is just one example, how a structured movement, we say, okay, we're going to get together, we're all going to come together and go out and support. and then they're able to, you know, actually move independent films through, you know, commercial releases in the major movie theaters. To have a run that most of them would never be able to have such a run. And so this is some exciting things. And since I said it's like about the third year, now Real Black started our own, another film festival here in Philadelphia called Black Star Film Festival, which the first year was this year, which was in July. So that is, the firm movement is really something that's exciting. And it's just something I was real proud of, because it's actually shows something where people have actually come together, as opposed to, you know, the opposite of, you know, being against one another, fighting, or this is a great movement, but the movement never really took off because there wasn't enough structured move, you know, enough people coming together under the movement.
Well, yeah, it's a prime example and a good example. I just wish the brother was able to be on the show to talk about it, because the whole dynamics of film distribution is changing. Everybody's talking about the second screen now, not meaning the big screen in the theater, not meaning the TV screen in your house, but the screen on your cell phone or your tablet. As we diverge into a more of a mobile and connected world, then the opportunities for monetization and distribution of independent films and entertainment products, virtual products, products of the mind, become wider and opener, so that more people can get involved in the game and more people can distribute, market, and make money doing performing their art.
And yes, that's definitely. And there are the last film that just released, and that was not too long ago, was Restless City. And then she has one that's coming out in October. And that was one of the reasons we wanted to promote and get that known. But maybe next week we can at least have them call in 2 weeks at least to let us know how to support that. So,
speaking of films, did you notice Reggie Kim during the Facebook discussion group last week?
Reggie Kim?
Yeah, R-E-G-I. She did My Nappy Roots. She's the director behind that. And
okay.
That has blossomed out into a movement which she calls the International Heritage, H-A-I-R-I-T-H-E, with the emphasis on hair.
Mm-hmm.
As part of the natural hair movement, she's created a series of short films, 2-minute videos and so forth, that she's screening relative to the beauty of the natural black hair, different styles and different ways it can be done. So video is just such a great tool in terms of marketing or distributing or getting your message out. And even, as you know, Jackie, we're trying to get more people involved in creating videos with their smartphones and their tablets as part of the Urban Tech Fair. We'll be having a video contest. Tommy Wright, who's on our advisory board and a member of the discussion group, is an award-winning TV documentary and sports director. He's involved, and he's willing to share the knowledge. James Hines is at the Cannes Film Festival every year promoting black film. He's done a lot of work in the black film industry. There's a number of entertainers that I know of here in L.A. that are looking to develop alternative sources of distribution. And I believe that technology is it. It's a great tool if we just learn how to use it right. And as you say, if we support each other.
Yes, and, you know, sometimes, I mean, the simplest of technology is just to say, it started with Real Black just by... One, they've been using video for a while. that's really got them popular and known because they interview, like, say, everyone that comes to town, they interview it and they put it on video. And they've been one of the longer organizations using it consistently, you know, as a show. But then simple emailing, just by e-blasting, but consistently, that's the way they let everyone know what's going on. From the e-blast, everyone sends text messages. And they send purpose texts when they actually get out. And I think a lot of our groups are just starting, entertainers or more independent ones are starting to learn how to do activation, text activation programs, which mean when you're actually at an event, during an event, you can take a moment to have people, everyone text this, everyone text that. Some people may need to get a little bit more strategic in what they're requesting, but still, again, that's another opportunity, because if you have so many people hit up on Facebook and say, we all check in that we're at this event here, that does a whole lot. One, it makes everybody say, wow, that's happening. I might need to get down there. Increases your SEO, increases your visibility. It just does so much for you at one time. And this is technology that we walk around with every day, and we're not. Sometimes I think people get so scared because they think technology, it's, you know, this big, huge thing. We're not even, you know, we're not talking about writing any programs and all. You text. You know, you text people. That's how we inform people. But it's a big thing because, you know, you don't have to call someone, wait for them to answer, you know, have to write everything down. You get to write down your specific message, what you want, send it, whether the person is there or not. When they do get there, boom, they have it. And then they can respond back. And so those are some of the basic technologies that we use every day that are being used right now to make a big difference.
It's so true. It's the power of the masses. They were talking about the Obama's after Obama's speech during the Democratic convention. They got the most tweets in history. I think it was like 20 million tweets came immediately after Obama got through speaking about his speech. So you know, when 1 million or 500,000 or 1,000 people holler, somebody in the forest hears it. The tree just doesn't fall by itself.
And, you know, and, like, just that ramification has so much. First of all, how long, 10 years ago, how long would it have taken you to get that statistical data of how many people actually listened in or heard when a president was speaking on television? How long would it have gotten to take that statistical data? And I bet you the tweets is even a little bit more accurate. But it just gives you an idea of automatically the number of people watching in. And that statistical data, the gathering of it was so much harder and cost so much more money. And that's one thing technology has done for us to... online activity allows you just to get information and analytics and statistical data back, like, almost for nothing. And it just makes it so much easier, cheaper. And then it makes it, allows you to do things, you know, better because you have some real information. You at least got a little bit of idea who likes it or who doesn't like it, who's responding, who's not. But I just thought about that, you know. 10 years ago.
It's quite important, Jackie, because before you can get a major commercial release, the theater owners want to know that somebody wants to come see this film.
Mm-hmm.
If you 10,000 downloads or got 100,000 downloads on YouTube or Ustream, or you've got thousands of followers at your fan page, just is a way, as you say, to have statistical, analytical data as to who your fan base is and who's more likely to come out and view that film and pay that $5 so the theater owner can make money as well as you, because everybody, it is a business. Everybody's involved in it to make money. And so you've got to be sure that you have a market audience be able to define them, as you've been saying with the urban tech fair. You've got to be able to define your market before you can even address them, before you can develop a message for a specific group of people. You got to know who that group of people is and where they hang out and what they're interested in.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that type of paperwork is so important to moving any type of product forward, whether it be a independent film, a new MP3 or CD, or whether it be a business. You've got to be able to identify who your target audience is and what's the best and most efficient way to reach them. And technology, mm-hmm. as you said online, whether you're talking about text messaging or SMS or whether you're talking about email or social media, it brings instant results that are verifiable to anybody.
Yes, and I mean, it can be used in, you know, so many ways, so many different levels. It's not just for big business. You could be a church person, and you could have, you know, your church could have a Facebook page, and you have an event, and you promote an event, and you'll notice that people, just say if you decide to get an ad, and a Facebook ad, say would probably maybe cheaper because you can target it than doing all the local newspapers if you've got a limited budget. So say you spend $40 on Facebook advertising. Well, you can target that advertising to your neighborhood, and then you'll get an idea who responded back. You'll find out that so many people responded back actually because they saw it on Facebook and they this and that, and it'll let you know, okay, we have more people than I realize, or less people than we realize actually, you know, looking at us on Facebook. Or maybe you may not have realized that people were coming from a neighborhood that maybe you didn't even realize that you were touching. And that's just simply because you didn't really have the data. And then you realize, oh, wow, well, if people are coming from that area, we may need to reach out to that area more. Let's make sure we put out flyers over there. Or just simple things like that. It, you know, it's helpful information. And a lot of it you can get for free, you know. But it's, and all of these, it was social medias with the, what's the, Foursquare and... I don't even know all of them, but there's a lot of location-based social medias that can be really helpful. And just like you can list, you know, churches and organizations, any brick and mortar, you can list yourself on Google for free. That's a free listing, and it's really helpful because what happens when people get on Foursquare for free, and what they do when people go on there and they're in the area, well, I'm in this zip code, I'm in 19122, and I'm visiting in Philadelphia, and I feel like I may want to go to the church, to a church. Let me see what churches are in this area. This is where I'm at. And then what they do, they'll bring up everything that's in that area. And it allows, you know, for no cost, you don't have to advertise or anything. And, you know, whenever people are searching, they have the ability to find you. So, you know, those things are exciting. They're, you know, they're not that difficult, but it really does empower the church with, like, no real marketing budget down the street to still be able to participate and to strategically reach out to people. So, and, you know, whether that's a church or it could be a nonprofit organization, you know, it could be teachers. You know, people have specialty curriculum. And another man just joined, Ted Tillman. He has a really nice software he developed that, you know, helps tutors, because his idea is that, you know, parents are working, and the standard work day is a lot of times 10 to 12 hours when you add in travel back and forth. Then you got to come home, fix dinner, and everything that the parents really don't have time or energy to sit down with their children to do homework and all. So he's developed a software that, you know, helps as like a tutor. And, again, you know, the technology and different things can help them, you know, easily let people know about it. And, All of those great different things, but I just like to, you know, relate it to different levels. You know, it is used from big business to small business to everyday use to community use. And, there, you know, we can all engage technology at some level that's comfortable with to us.
And, you know, another thing for independent filmmakers and musicians to think about is that just because you post your film or your preview up on a service like YouTube or Ustream doesn't mean that you're giving it away. If you draw the right type of crowd or the right type of numbers, then not only will YouTube pay you, but other advertisers will come to you to see if they can get product placement on your next video or your next film on YouTube. There is a whole nother audience and a way of monetizing through YouTube and Google TV. Everybody's trying to come out with original film programming. Apple is coming out with a new device called Apple TV. And what are they going to show? The same things you see now on cable? There is a demand and a need for new programming, for new original concepts. And who better to develop them concepts than our community? With the tools that are at hand now, it isn't difficult to basically put together a short film or to outline your script and see what type of response you get. And then you can develop it bit by bit as you bring up each episode, and you can make money while you're doing it. I was reading the other day how Yahoo is setting up a video service, and they're talking about paying for new programming. YouTube just invested, I think, $200 million into a new original programming just for YouTube.
And they've made a lot of changes as well. They've upgraded, and now you can live stream from YouTube via your Google Hangouts. And I just saw just this weekend another change and an ability to do something that I don't think no one else yet has. And I can't remember because I just saw it in the midst of, you know, working. but YouTube has made a lot of upgrades to stay competitive.
They're coming out with new software that allows you to edit on the fly. Like if you're doing a live broadcast or a live stream, to be able to add in captions and names and so forth while you're doing it from your cell phone or your tablet via the cloud.
Yeah, and that's them coming on par, but they and because you can that can be done on other platforms, but they have even some things that even allow that has. I saw something this week that they're doing that I haven't even seen on other platforms, and so it's like they're coming up with the best of, you know, of everything, bringing it there, and I think the live stream. The ability to live stream across YouTube, you know, really makes them competitive because that's where other platforms may have outperformed YouTube because the ability to live stream. But now, and then you connect it with your Google Hangout, and, of course, things you do across Google really helps in your search engine optimization, so your SEO. So those things really benefit. And, again, method and mode of distribution, it just really makes it clear. And again, another thing said too, you know, you check out your terms of, you know, the terms of agreement as far as ownership, but you just too have the ability to copyright your work. And I think just by the mere fact that you post it and it's original content and you can right there put your copyright there, that, you know, starts the process. So that's another thing you can do on the internet is immediately document that where it can't be taken away. And you can always go back and find it. So,
you're right. Nothing on the internet goes away.
Yeah, and sometimes you have to be very aware of that. That can be a two-edged sword. So you do need to be very mindful. Nothing goes away on the internet. And but that can work in your behalf if someone does attempt to take something that you had already created, that you can actually go find a footprint of when you created it, where it would supersede, you know, the other person
well,
who copied.
That goes back to the poor man's copyright. You remember they used to tell us all the time to take your document and put it in a letter and address it in the stamp and mail it to yourself and don't open it. The U.S. government should, when it was created, what they call a poor man's copyright.
Yes, yeah, well, still exists.
Same thing can be done through the internet, where you post it up on the internet, and then there's an official record and date stamp as to when it was first put up, which carries more weight in court than quote unquote going through the whole process of getting a legal copyright stamp by the Library of Congress.
Yeah, and you don't even have to necessarily post it publicly. You can do it in an email. An email is timed and date stamped. If that's not, you know, your choice for a public post, you can do it as an email. Email it to yourself. It's still dated and stamped. And believe me, because I have saved emails. Sometimes when I felt business was not being done appropriately or certain things weren't being said, I've taken those emails and filed them in case I needed them for documentation. So they really do hold up.
Oh, yeah. You know, and, you know, that's, again, one of the advantages that technology brings to the marketplace. And this is the type of information we're trying to spread through the urban tech fairs that we're going to be doing around the country.
Yes. So where are we looking at starting, Jim?
Everybody's talking about Philly, you know, birthplace of our nation.
When the OKI get ready to come on?
Oh, Herschel's so excited. They're doing such big things. But I was talking with Brother Hassan Sharif out of New York this week, and he's ready to go. He's got his organization together. He's talked to Columbia State University in terms of a venue. He's got some music contacts and club promoters ready to sponsor. He really feels that New York should be first. I know we got a lot of fans in the Big Apple.
Yeah. Well, he said May. He said they were looking at May. So I think we got a couple before then. But it's just they have it planned and ready. You know, we know that Newark is they're doing the first of the year. And we got the OKI getting come up in October. And Philly becoming somewhere between the OKI and Newark that is really, really laying out. And now people are going to have to start competing for their month. They're really, because they're going to have to start competing for their time because, you know, these cities are booking and laying them down.
Well,
and we have Atlanta getting ready to come aboard with Markell.
Yeah.
And
you made a statement earlier about the Urban Tech Fair being my vision. But it's truly our vision. It was built on the spirit of Ubuntu that we are because of all of us. And just like you and David Muhammad and Herschel Daniels and Lynn Cooper and Cynthia Walker and all of them have just gravitated to the idea and picked it up and ran with it. That's what it's about. It's our Urban Tech Fair, and it's about showcasing us.
Yeah, and what's relevant in each area. It's like the OKI, a lot of their focus is, do you know their tech challenge yet?
Say again?
For the OKI, you know what their tech challenge that they're working with?
No, but as Herschel Daniels being an engineer and having an engineering firm and having coming up with the patent for how to recycle wastewater into energy and to drinkable
that's what
water.
There's recycled wastewater. We have New York is going to be dealing with they're probably going to be dealing with things around the music industry. And what's exciting about them, the Urban Tech Fair there is going to launch a local resource center. Tech a tech resource center where people can come and, you know, get computers, use computers, you know, get instructions, learn online, and just an overall resource center. That's what that's going to launch. So at the end of the Urban Tech Fair, at the end of the 30 days, there will actually be something left there that will still be ongoing, which is a resource center. And so that's what they're using the Urban Tech Fair to launch, this resource center.
Well, and you constantly remind me, Ms. Urban Tech Fair chairperson, as you constantly remind me, if the classes themselves will be a legacy as people begin to network and learn about what's available in their community and how they can use it, that knowledge will not go away. And there will be people. There's always one out of a bunch. There will be people that will take that knowledge and use it for the benefit of our entire community. I believe in that, and my goal and my expectation is that the Urban Tech Fair is going to create new businesses, new markets, new ways to distribute goods and services to lift up our entire community.
Yes, well, it definitely will. And, you know, automatically people just, you know, and there's a lot of different issues in a lot of different areas. There's certain ones they, you know, people are looking to focus on, but and it's a lot of cross issues. And so I think what's really good when they focus on one issue, but these are also issues that other communities are having. So what's interesting, you know, at the end of the first year, we have either apps and games dealing with, you know, say anywhere from 10 to 17 issues at the end of our first year that everyone can cross use to help out other communities.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so that's,
and
like,
the whole process will be a webcast anyway, so that those people that have an idea can be inspired, even though they don't live in that particular city. They can see what they're doing in Philadelphia. They can see what's happening in Cincinnati in regards to innovation and software and free tools and links of how to learn how to do this and where to get that, to develop their own ideas outside of the Urban Tech Fair. It's about spreading the knowledge.
But yeah, and also though, just, you know, to share with everyone that each Urban Tech Fair, there will be a 3-day tech challenge. And that tech challenge will address an issue or concern or need in that community. You know, each area has an organizing committee, and then they decide, you know, what they want to use the tech challenge for. And the end result is either an app or a game. So it's not just you're going to be seeing what people do, and then you have to watch that and figure it. There will be an end result. There will be an app or a game that you will be able to obtain, and that can be used, you know, in the same way it, you know, addresses an issue in that area. It can, you know, cross-help. So even though, you know, you only get to choose one because you can't focus on everything, you know, 9 times out of 10, another city, we can almost say 10 out of 10. Another issue that another city is addressing is something that's still relevant in your community. So just that cross-information really helps. Even though we'll come out with 10 to 17 products, but the cross-use of all of those products will exponentially, that's what we talk about, your permutations and combinations. They will,
well, you know,
create all of these new outcomes, you know, through the usage of these of the software and games, the apps and the games.
Well, you know, since the show was originally targeted for filmmakers and artists, I wanted to say that the tech challenges that are going on right now, happening across this country, sponsored by major corporations and municipalities and other entities, whether you're talking about the AT&T this week is doing a tech challenge to see who can come up with the best app for texting while driving to prevent or educate people against that. But I advise filmmakers and so forth to go to these tech challenges when they hear about it, because even though they may think, well, I'm a filmmaker, I don't have an idea for how to end driving while texting, or I don't have an idea for a product per se, but when you go to the tech challenge, you'll meet the programmers, the graphic artists, the industry people that can help you move an idea for your film or your new album. These people are all there. They're excited. They're there to have fun, to meet other people, to network. Why not meet you? Why not learn about your film? Why not learn about your idea? And then they can come together to help you outside of that challenge. But you know that there will be X number of people attending either, like New York has the Mayor's Challenge by Mayor Bloomberg, where he's giving away $50 million for the best idea. Atlanta has a challenge. Chicago has an ongoing challenge. Like I said, most of your major corporations, from Nissan has the Garage Innovation Challenge going on right now. Miller's and Coors Beer has the Urban Entrepreneurs Challenge going on right now, $50,000 for the best business plan. There's all types of ways to move your project forward and find the help you need to take it to the next level, because the key that Silicon Valley has taught us, if nothing else, is in team making. Steve Jobs would have been nothing without his partner Wozniak. Bill Gates, we all know the story of the team of people he had around him to develop Windows. It takes a team of people, passionate and excited about a single idea, to take that idea to fruition. So, you know, you may have developed this script out of a vision, out of a dream that came in your head, and you fell in love with it, and you don't want to let it go, and you're afraid somebody's going to steal it from you. But if you don't share your idea, it'll be like the biblical story of the person who put their talents in the ground and they never grew.
Okay. Well, this has been a great show. We've talked our way through the show, and we hope everyone's doing well. And I'm not sure about Mr. John Porter. He was so excited. We've been having a discussion for 2 weeks across Google+, and I don't know what he did. Telling you all the great things he's doing about the films that he's working on, and I'm still working to master Google+ myself, because I really was attempting to find that post that I had posted with. We've been going back and forth for a while, I'm trying to find it, because he said about he's doing some films, and that's why we're bringing him on. He actually does films. He says, you know, a lot of things he has the same interest in, and he was talking about films that he's actually doing. And I guess between him, Bill, and us, we've been going back and forth with a conversation on Google+. So, but maybe, you know, we'll hear from John Porter soon. So our next guest, we haven't scheduled yet, but I will guarantee you the next show will be an exciting show, well-publicized show, and you're going to learn a lot more about technology. In the meantime, just search for The Digital Drummer and check out some great past shows. But for the next 2 weeks, we will get all the archives on one page, and you'll be able just to go in and view the shows and see everything that's happening and listen to your different favorite shows, because we've had a really great group of guests. We've had some really great people. So at this point in time, We putting all the archives together so you can just find them all in one place and just see the great group of people that have been on this show, but more importantly, the great information that they are imparting. And I think one of our first guests wasn't our formal guest, but he called in. Who's the gentleman, the first ISP?
Dr. Michael Beatty.
Mm-hmm.
He's at a surf station here in Los Angeles, I believe, in the 90s. And it was
okay. The
first black-owned ISP. He's still providing DSL service to this day. It's up and operating as we speak. But his main passion is STEM education. That's what he does. He teaches at USC, and he provides mobile science labs that he takes around to different schools in the community that don't have full science labs to teach the kids the basics or get them interested in some of the normal tools and apparatus that you find in the science labs, that they can become familiar with the tools that they need to follow through on their scientific or their passion for science. So Dr. Michael Beatty, he's on Facebook, he's on LinkedIn, his company is called Surf Station. I'm not sure the URL, but yes, Dr. Beatty is supporting us. I mean, there's so many great people that we've had on the show, from Mike Green to Kwasi. I mean, there are people out there that have accomplished and have made it in technology, are willing to give back that knowledge, willing to reach back and help others. And so the Urban Tech Fair, hopefully, if nothing else, can be a vehicle for us to be able to communicate and dispel these myths, these classes, these lines that we've drawn in our mind as to who's on first and who's on second. We're in this boat together, and we've got to stroke together in order to get from point A to point B as a community and a people.
Yes, and we have to and please remember the concept of the kinship community. You know, we had to get back to that day. It's not just our family, but we're all family and that extended family. And through that connection of the extended family where we're watching out for one another, we get to know one another and realize what richness you have right next door, right down the street, or right in the next block. For those who are in a city like me, I know some of you guys are further spread out. I don't know what you guys call your... I don't know, how do you call your regions? You know, I'm in the city, we call them blocks. I know I got to go down south, they say right there, there, down the road, right down there. It'll be like 10 miles. And that's another thing, too. It's great to see how different regions work, you know. Culture is great. You know, each region has its own culture, its own dialect, its own language. You know, these are things that are fun. You know, I think that's the other fun thing about Urban Tech Fair. We're just learning about a lot of different things, about a lot of different areas, and each area has its own specialty. And I think when we were interviewing LaZone Gray, I think that was one thing that came out when, you know, talking about what Kansas City, you know, what that area was known for, and, you know, just different things you may not actually know about different cities. So we want to say a shout-out to Cynthia and Girls Got Geek. And there's another thing, just check out Urban Tech Fair. If you just go on Facebook, you can just put in Urban Tech Fair, join our group, like our page, and join in the group. There is all the chats are archived, so you can even go all the way back to Michael Beatty if you want to find out links and resources. There's great information in the chats, because we try to make sure that we type in the resources, information, everyone's links and all. So go through the chat, and there's a lot of great information there alone. So I just, you know, like to tell everybody, just join us on Facebook, join us on LinkedIn, join the conversation, but more importantly, get involved. Just go to urbantechfair.org, sign the list, so you'll get notices of everything that's going on, and more and more and more things are happening. So I think we're going to, not just from the, our next shows, okay, starting in 2 weeks, we start the city series. So this is really going to be exciting. You know, where our focus is the city. So for the next few months, I think I have a schedule all the way through probably January. Each city team is going to be our guest. We're bringing the focuses now into the cities. And so we start in 2 weeks with the OKI. And that's Herschel Daniel, Bill Houston.
And OKI stands for Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana Urban Tech Fair. That's Bill Houston, Herschel Daniels, Todd Adams, I think
Roger Madison.
Yes,
Roger Madison. Mm-hmm. So that whole group. So again, when we're talking about the flavors and culture and the different things of a region, you'll be able to get to find that out. So each city teams for every 2 weeks, and I'll post the whole schedule. I know I wrote it up. I can't remember it all in my head. I know we start off with the OKI. And each city team will come on the radio, so you'll get to find out about the various different cities. So it's exciting, and it's really going to move. You know, one day it'll seem like, oh, it's been, like, so quiet, and boom, the next thing you'll know. And then this is how it's going to hit. Yeah, you're going to think it's an overnight success, but, Lord, we've been working hard.
That's the truth, my sister. That's the truth.
You just became aware of it overnight, but wow. It's a lot of work, but it's a good work. So, Cynthia, hi, and thank you, Cynthia. And everybody go to girlsgotgeek.com. And, Jim, your parting words?
Just want to know everybody, let everybody know that we're about you. We're about showcasing you. We're about putting the best face on our community and showing all the hard work, all the good people, all that's being done on your behalf that you may not be aware of that's right around the corner.
Okay. So until 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, we got the OKI coming on, the city team from Ohio, Kentucky, and Indiana. And we'll see you in 2 weeks.